Welcome to Everybody Wants Something, a Degrassi podcast where two black millennials recap every episode of Degrassi from junior high to next class. Because why not? I'm your host, Sanique.
And I'm your other host, Lauren. Let's jump in.
We're back.
We're back, everyone.
We are back.
We are winding down on Retro Degrassi.
Here we are. It's crazy.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. I was just thinking yesterday how long we've been doing this show. Because we started this May, I think, will be 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, we've been doing this for 2 years and we still haven't even gone to Next Gen.
I know. It's truly crazy. But it's, man, this episode this week I thought was like, interesting because it was like a true like wrap up and kind of set up for like, I don't know, a lot of things, I feel like. So I'm excited to talk about it this week.
I am too. And it's a nice, lighter episode after Showtime. Did we get any feedback about Showtime?
Not really. Someone in our comment section, let me actually find out who it was, commented, like, was quoting part of Claude's monologue.
Uh-huh.
Which I guess it's like, what are you supposed to say? I mean, I guess it's like you can either comment on something we actually said in the episode or just be like, yeah, man, depressing.
Well, no, I'm asking more because I want to make sure we haven't been canceled.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're still present.
Okay, good. We're still good present. To know.
Yeah.
Good to know. Chris... I'm always worried about episodes like that are like, ugh, yeah. Like, you know. Like,
actually.
Yeah.
But Chris Mansbridge, acupuncturist on Instagram. I realized that they said more than just the episode. Sorry, Chris Manns. I don't know if that's your real name. So Chris Mann, as I said, it's a long thing, but you know who you are. They said our band has a song about this episode. So let me actually look at their Instagram. Oh my gosh, shout out to this person. They do traditional Chinese medicine. Wow, we have a lot of things in common. They did sports medicine. Look at you and I. Look at us.
Oh, look at these besties.
I know. I guess they're in a band. But the quote is, not afraid, soothing, black and warm, bullets to brains, heartaches and snakes, monologue performed, safe from the pain, soothing, cold and red, the hole in my heart matches the one put in my head.
Oh, shit. Damn.
You know what? I'm sorry, Chris. I still don't know if that's your name. Chris Manns. I'm just going to call you Chris Manns. That is some deep, I skimmed it and I was like, oh, cause I didn't actually go and look at the whole post. Mm-hmm. I just looked at the kind of overview. But that is an intense song. Chris Manns, we're going to reach out to you on Instagram. We might have to add that to the playlist. Like,
I know. Are you on Spotify?
Yeah. We're going to send you a message. Let me actually, before I forget, we're going to send you a DM right now. Slanty a DMs, Chris Manns.
But while you're doing that, I have a question for you, Lauren. Yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Oh, man. This past week I had a holiday. It was great. Vacation. It's the one thing I can't stand that I say now. I say I had a holiday instead of like a vacation.
No, I think I like holiday better. It sounds so like I'm on holiday.
Exactly. Yes, like it sounds
we went to Ibiza on holiday. Like, oh my god, that sounds so chic.
Yes. It just sounds like, because there's a lot of people here that are Americans that are just around enough British people that they like really try to like not be American.
Yeah.
And I judge them for it. So I judge myself every time I say holiday.
Right.
It's like when someone, like a case of point, when an American says uni, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, get out of here. Like, stop using mates and stop calling it uni, you fucking idiot.
Like, yeah, stop. I think it's only acceptable if like you literally have been living in the UK for like several years. Otherwise, yeah. It's like, who are you trying to impress? Like, I see you in your New Balances. You're fucking American.
Just get out of here. So get out of here. But yes, I had a short little break over the weekend, which was nice. And my liver is recovering still. Ooh. I was back to work today. But yeah, doing pretty well. Still on the job hunt, hopefully on the end stretch of it. I'm already over job hunting.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. I hope you hear something great soon.
Me too. Yeah, otherwise doing well. The weather's getting warmer here. I just took down my suitcase earlier of all my like spring clothes.
Ooh.
A lot of florals. I don't know if it's floral season yet here.
I mean, it's spring.
It is. I'll give myself like another week. Yeah. But yeah, doing well. And I don't know. I feel like I feel good probably in the past, like today, than like the past weeks we recorded. So I don't know if it sounds that way, but I feel good.
No, I'm happy for you. I think I also feel good. Like it's getting warm here as well. It's going to be in the 80s today.
Shit,
yeah, yes. It's gonna get like hot. I'm gonna wear shorts. I'm excited. But yeah, it's like the weather is breaking over here, so I'm feeling a lot more optimistic, and you know, I'm in higher spirits for sure. This weekend I've been working on this pilot for a few months, like just trying to get a first draft out of me, which is hard. And I got stuck in my third act. And I finally had a breakthrough this weekend and actually like finished my third act yesterday. So I'm near the climax and I'll be done with it, with the first draft of it. So I'm excited to be like, yes, like I jumped this hurdle that I was like, was really daunting. And now I'm like, fuck yeah, man. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I was about to say something, but I feel like it sounds so stupid in comparison. Today I got a water filter for my shower.
That's great. Like clean water is very important. What do you mean it's stupid?
But like when I tell you that like my hair has been suffering, I had excessive shedding, which
do
I
do you guys
never...
have hard water?
Yeah, like really, really hard water. And I've never really either noticed or paid much attention to how it's affected my hair before. But yeah, it's been really, really bad, and I've been trying to fix it and remedy it, and my friend was like, just like hire this company, they'll come and install it for you. And when I tell you that I took a shower today and I washed my hair, and I was like, oh my gosh, it did make a difference. Like it
all
was
the
just
calcium
like...
was just like falling out of your hair.
Yes, I was like, wow. Like the I mean, even the way that like, you know, when you're doing hair, like, you know, when like your hair is starting to feel different, and I was like twisting it and I was like, oh, okay, right. This is how my hair feels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It probably was like, feeling really like weighed down and like, just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. And I'm like literally like caressing my face right now. It just like feels different. So.
I feel like my skin is so soft.
I know. I was like, this could literally be a placebo effect. And I'm like, it feels different. I don't know.
No, like hard water definitely like feels different than like, I guess, soft water or whatever.
Like, yeah. And the elements and stuff sit on your hair.
Yeah.
Even if you wash it, like once you put the water back, like once you shampoo your hair and you rinse it with the same water, it's going to get back on your hair. So.
Exactly. No, I think that like this is wonderful. I love that. And I mean, you know, you're like the curl queen. So I'm like, can't wait to see pics of like the dew when you know, you take that twist out and you're just like, yeah, it's springtime in Beijing, y'all.
Hey, listen, I
and your florals? Yes, mama. Come on.
I've been waiting for my hot girl summer moment. For years, because I feel like almost every summer I'm like living at home with my parents, and so like
Yeah. And they're no girl. This is a Christian household.
Just let me pop out for a second, Ma. Just let me pop out.
Don't ask me where I'm going. I'm just going, all right?
The sad thing is, honestly, is that I used to, side note, I used to use staying at Sneak's house as an excuse for, like, I don't know, like, lots of things. Like I would, like, not that many things, I think, but I remember when I was dating my first boyfriend and I would go sleep over there, I would say, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sleeping over at Sneak's house.
I was your excuse?
Yeah, I don't even think you were living in Maryland at that point.
This is my first time hearing this. I'm like when you said that, I was like, wait, you never stayed at my house. Like, you hardly ever stayed at my house. Oh my,
yeah. So
I'm so happy I could be that for you. Where the fuck was I? Was I in Paris? Was I even in the country?
You were probably like, I mean, you were probably there like maybe like one of the times, and I was like, my parents don't know. Like,
oh, I'm so happy. I've always wanted to be that friend to someone.
Well, congrats. You're that.
Yes. I love being a fucking hoe excuse.
Oh, like, yeah. Yes. You're my hoe alibi.
Yes. I'm a hoe alibi. This is like the best day of my life. I'm so happy.
Yes. Oh, man. If only Tessa Campanelli had herself a hoe alibi, but Dorothy was not willing to be that for her.
Oh, but so before we jump into it, hold on. Sorry. I just want to plug something real quick that I think would be...
I have like a weird scratchy in my throat.
Are you okay?
Yeah, it's like, it feels like, no, it's like a literal scratch in my throat. I can't reach my finger down there and scratch it though. So it's like...
Oh no, you should get a lozenge.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if that will help you. But this weekend, I'm going to be on an Instagram live show. It's called Nothing New with Olivia. It's with Olivia Perry, who is a Chicago-based comedian. She's amazing. Her Instagram handle is at Olarvia. That's Olarvia. Basically, every Saturday, she gets together with some friends, some comedy folks to talk about a topic that the person, the guest, knows a lot about. And I will be on Saturday at, that's April 10th at 3 p.m. Central Time. Log into her Instagram and we're going to talk about Degrassi and like teens in crisis, teen TV shows. I figure that our broomheads would appreciate that. I might want to jump in and, you know, support Olivia's show. It's really fun. It's very funny.
Yes, I am very much looking forward to tuning into this because I just know it's gonna be good. Like, I mean,
so it's gonna be 3 p.m. Central Time. That's gonna be like okay, 5 a.m.
reposting the live.
I think she'll repost. You can watch it. I was like, girl, you're not watching it. You are not tuning in. Like, don't lie to our listener.
No, I wasn't listening for the time, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be in there, and I was like, oh yeah, that's gonna be an
sorry, I'm gonna be asleep. Good luck.
Listen,
good luck to you.
I don't want to say that I'm gonna wake up because I know myself, you know.
No,
know
if myself. You did, if I see you in the chat during this live, I'm gonna be like, Lauren, go to bed. I will call you out. Like, my friend Lauren is here. She's in China. She should be sleeping.
Or you'd be like, it's a bot. Lauren's been hacked.
It's a bot. We'll be back after a quick break. Do you want to jump into the episode?
Yes, please. Let's jump in.
Let's do it. This week, we are watching season 2, episode 12, Three's a Crowd, air date January 21st, 1991. Synopsis. Spike invites Snake to the graduation formal, but then Michelle, whom he'd really rather go with, invites him.
Ooh. This is a messy episode.
Mm-hmm.
The girls are going wild this episode.
Yes. So many of my notes were just like, oh no. Ooh. Oh girl. Just like, y'all doing a lot in Canada. I guess they're really bored up there. So they just be, yes. This is a very horny episode.
It's like probably like maybe the second or third. They're having their hot girl spring out here. It's probably the third or second week of like warm weather in Canada.
Yeah, it's tube top weather.
Tube top weather. Stephanie K is rolling over in her character grave.
Like, you know, Stephanie would have been like out here, like serving a look.
She loves the dance. I mean, that the whole reason that Degrassi has so many school dances is because Stephanie K was the original, supposed to be like the lead girl of the series, and then she fell out and left, and they're like, well, I guess we'll keep the dances.
I thought you were gonna mention her as president and be like, her the sweeping policy changes that Stephanie K made at Degrassi really created a foundation in which the students at Degrassi can enjoy extracurriculars, and I believe that we should pay our dues to young Stephanie K.
Oh my God, you're so right, though.
Thanks.
I didn't even think about
that. I mean,
that.
I often am. why are you gagging so? No. I bring it to you every ball. Okay. what is wrong with me today? It's too early for this. We have our cold open, and Snake is playing with Emma. I had a you moment and did not realize, like, oh, this is a dream. I was like, wait, what? Listen. There's so many dream sequences in this episode.
Okay. I got to sprinkle in a YouTube comment early. Because the YouTube comments were funny this week. Okay. So, what do you want from 1 year ago? Also, the avatar for this commenter is Mary J. Blige in a short blonde bob wig with big bug-eyed sunglasses, and I'm here for it.
I mean, that's like iconic Mary J. Blige.
Yes. This person says, I think this series has an average of 5 dream sequences per episode, which... Just like, listen, Degrassi loves a dream sequence. They love it.
They love it. My first thought when we were picking a song was These Dreams by Heart. And then I realized I already had that song on the playlist because there was an episode that was very dream heavy. I was like, oh, that'll be a great song. I'm like, oh, wait, no. We already did it.
Yes. There's literally, like, we've used up all of them. Like, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But this scene was, like... Again, because they're losing up, they're playing with us because they're losing the kind of clouded frame.
Right.
You don't realize it's a dream until you're like, wait, this is what it really happened.
You know? Until something really bizarre happens and I'm like, oh yeah, no, this isn't a dream. Okay. Yeah. But in the dream, Snake is playing with Emma. I saw a meme. I don't know if it was on Twitter or on Instagram because Snake is playing with Emma and she goes running and he's like, oh, great kid. And like, it was on Twitter. Someone took that scene when they're sitting. He's like, great kid. And it's Emma after she gets gonorrhea. She's like, you gave me a social disease.
Great kid.
Great kid.
I love that.
Yeah, it's funny that this is the episode that was pulled from. Mm. So they sit down and then Snake just like grabs Spike's case and he's like, face. And he's like, I'm crazy about you. And then they kiss. So much kissing in this episode, which is really like triggering considering we're still living through a pandemic.
It's like, do you guys even know? Do you know the possibilities that can happen?
Like, you guys don't know what's waiting for you at the end of this tunnel, okay? It's dangerous out here. Turn back.
Turn back now, please.
Turn back. So they kiss, but then Emma is like, mommy. And then she like snaps out of, which is like is so indicative of what Spike's whole life is. Is like she just wants to live like her teen dream, and then her baby is like, mommy, I'm hungry. Like,
exactly.
Poor thing.
poor thing. All she wanted. It's like really, of all the people you had to like get Spike pregnant, like I'm trying to see what Spike's life was without a kid. Like I want to see her storylines of just like going to clubs, like she would have done all the fun stuff. She would have been like trying like the hard drugs.
Yeah. She would have definitely tried like coke and like ketamine. This is like early 90s, so I feel like ketamine was like really like having a moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, like,
and it's making a comeback right now, actually.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, I follow a very interesting group of people on Twitter, and now I'm very aware of like drug culture, even though I don't do drugs. Just say no. But yeah, ketamine's coming back in a big way.
I feel like downers are, I feel like cocaine is like really big with like, I don't know, like our generation.
Yeah, like Coke older. Coke is in because Coke comes in and out.
Yeah.
Of style. Coke is back. Well, I love that for her because, you know.
Love. And, you know, Molly.
Yes. Molly comes in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, weed. Gosh. Weed is here to stay forever. I love Old Faithful. Old Faithful is never going anywhere. Old
Faithful. Also, side note, as we mentioned numerous times in this podcast, Sanique and I have referenced Beach Week 2010 in Ocean City, Maryland. Mm-mm. For some reason, I don't know how it happened, but I was very thankful for it. I somehow found that, of course, there's like Beach Week vlogs because like the younger generation like vlogs.
You mean like current kids now?
Yeah, like I think the earliest one I saw was like from 2017.
Oh and my god.
I was like, oh no. Like, and a lot of them are really shit because like they're like not really showing it, but there's like some out here that are just like showing everything, and I'm like, oh, so like y'all out here just like blacking out on YouTube. Like,
okay. Like, yeah, don't put that on YouTube, guys. Kids, don't put that on YouTube. Like,
but I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to watch this.
I need to watch that. I mean, listen, I get that kids do it. I mean, like, I didn't black out at Beach Week, but
right
when I was in my first year in college, I blacked out so many times.
Yes.
What is that noise? Anyway, I think I'm gonna be like abducted by an alien. That sounded like, you know, a UFO.
It would make for great content, so I don't mind it.
It would. This would be like the final episode. You could like release it. It's like the final episode, and it's just me getting abducted by an alien. But yeah, like I was blacking out, but also not posting it online. But that is let's come back to the episode. This is, we went on a tangent just now. Sorry.
Yes, but again, we wanted to see that from Spike, and what we got was freaking. Her fantasizing, but when we talk about her like coming back from her daydream, she was like, that daydream seemed to be getting hot and heavy for her because she was like,
yeah, ooh. She definitely was like, she was what?
Yeah, like Tessa and Spike this episode were like, listen,
they were like,
I'm trying to get mines. Okay. Okay, Spike is like, I'm a teen mom, not much is going on for me. And Tessa's like, I'm dating fucking Alex. You already know. Like I don't need to explain.
You know nothing is going on over here. Like, I get it. I mean, you notice the two guys that they're like pining over have the same haircut. Oh my god. Like Yik and Snake have the same weird like cropped 90s cut, which like with the hair pushed back and it's like got that like the shave in the back.
They constantly have to like push their fingers through or rake their fingers through to like make it go back, but then always falls like a little bit into their eye. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's peak like hot guy, like early 90s.
Yes.
Yeah, that haircut needs to come back.
You know?
That's what the Gen Z, they don't know about it yet, but they'll catch on. Yeah. So in our first scene, so Amy and Allison, whose only characters, like the only characterization of these girls in this show are them finding dates. Mm-hmm. And it's very confusing because, again, we've talked about this before. Amy and Allison, I thought should be like the popular hot girls, but they always seem to never have a date. So I'm like,
no,
I think they're just delusional. Is that?
I think delusional. I think also like the way that Degrassi cast them, like, in real life, they would be the hot, popular girls that we would see lots about and would have dates. But, like, for some reason, I guess their acting wasn't good enough. So, like, they didn't get a major role. And so, that doesn't fit into the storyline for them to have dates. But it's like, no, they would be, like, on and popping in real life. So.
Yeah. Do you see Allison's hair?
Oh my god.
She looks like a fucking mermaid. Like she would
like
she'd have no problem finding a date.
Yeah, she's got that like what is it called? I call it my long hair is my personality hair.
Yes.
We all know that girl, listener, I really hope you're not this girl, that like they like have like, because I think for especially in the 90s, like long hair, like down to your, like having long hair was like soup, like everyone's goal, like down to your butt.
Yeah.
But like long hair isn't a style. Like it doesn't make you, like it doesn't make a look, you know, because it's not a look.
Yeah, it's but just then long.
Yeah. But then there's that one girl that's like, oh my gosh, I can never have short hair. Like, she like posts a picture online, like, 2 inches gone. Like, it's like, bitch, I don't even notice a difference.
Yes.
Like, come on now.
I feel like there was a, I remember a girl in middle school who was like that. I don't remember. Alexa?
It's not really a bell.
Alexa Norberg.
Girl, why did I, like, I literally got her, I haven't thought about it in years, that literally pops into my head.
Yeah, she, I don't think about her, but I just remember, like, she was that girl, because I remember she had very long hair, and she always wore, in, like, a high pony, and she was doing it before Ariana Grande, so what's up? And, like, give her some credit. She was pulling the look before you. She always wore a high ponytail, her hair was very long, and then one day she came to school, and she got layers, and it was, like, it was a cultural reset. Stop. I distinctly remember this little white girl had layers and like a pink, like I'm like flashing back to this girl. So she had very long hair and she always wore like, she was a dancer. She always wore her little dance jacket and that's all she wore.
Oh, with her name on it.
Yes. And that's like literally the only thing she wore. And then one day she came to school with layers and a different shirt. And it was like, my God, like hot girl Alexa just entered the chat. And it was... funniest thing, because it was like, whoa, like Alexa Norberg is hot, question mark. We were like 12.
There was a moment when layers could do something for you. Mm-hmm. There was a time in history, okay?
There was a time, I feel like, in like the mid to early aughts, where just telling someone like, you should get layers, was just like was like advice. Like if you could be like, oh my God, I have like stage 4 breast cancer, is like, you should get layers. Like, what? That's not gonna help.
God. Oh my gosh. You know what? That's what, what's her name? What's the girl with the long hair we were just talking about in the show?
Allison is the long haired one.
That's all Allison needs. She needs some fucking layers, and she would have had boys line up at her fucking locker. Okay. They've seen the long hair, Allison. They want layers, Allison. Okay?
That's crazy. This is a stupid thing. Like, I should make a video. It's just me, like...
Yes, please
just
do.
Just telling you, like, you should get layers.
And also, like, did we fucking know what layers were? No. Like, I had no fucking idea.
I vaguely, your hair...
Oh, does it... It's, like short and then long, and like I think it was like literally like shelves, not so much layers.
I think I knew what they were because my cousin got layers and I was like, whoa.
Oh shoot.
I was like, oh shit, like that's how hair is supposed to look. Wow. Right? Can't wait. Can't wait to get layers. my voice just cracks weird. So
puberty.
I know. It's hard out here. So okay, so Spike and Snake just had a presentation. And she's like, this is like a scene where like several people are just like longing. This is like the yearning up scene. So she's like yearning for a Snake. And she's like, oh my God, like everyone's getting turned on by the fact that Snake is traumatized.
Listen.
They're like,
oh my gosh. I was going to look it up. I forgot to. I think to some extent it might be the... like a psychosis or like a psychological disorder, or maybe even a fetish, I guess, of like people that are traumatized. But I'm trying to remember the show. I remember watching a show where this one boy ends up in a wheelchair, or like he like has two broken legs, and he's like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm gonna do for the next few months. I'm going to have to be in a wheelchair. And I wish I could remember the name of the show, but I just remember someone was like, oh, you'll be fine. What's your number? Or like, what's your Twitter? And he like ended up tweeting like, oh, like so sad. Like I'm going to be stuck. Like alone, stuck in a wheelchair, not be able to go out or do anything. And like next day, like six girls show up at his door being like, I'll help you. Like, do you need a sponge bath? And they're all like attractive girls. And what is that condition? What
is that?
That it's like some weird fetishization of like someone that's, cause it's usually with like, I think it happens with males, but specific with I hate when people say females, women, when, like a man who should be like fine, like an attractive young man or whatever that like is like suffering from something. It's like, oh, let me help you. I could be here for you. You
know? I think it's like a weird, I know what you're talking about. It's like this weird, like Florence Nightingale syndrome or something. Yeah. Where like you have to be like, because it's not just like, it's not necessarily like I can fix him syndrome. It's more like you like that he's broken. Like I want you to be broken so I can like nurse you back to health. Like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, what's that? That movie you just recapped on We Die First.
Oh, Misery.
it's like a less extreme version of Misery.
It's like the Annie Wilkes syndrome. All the girls in this episode have Annie Wilkes syndrome. They're like, oh my God, Sneak is like, you think he has like nightmares?
Like, oh, they're like getting off on it. It's like oh God.
They're like really getting off on the idea, like Snake waking up screaming, and like they're like, are you okay? It's just a dream. Like,
because the thing is, in every fucking movie, that's romanticized, of being like, it's okay, I'm here. It's okay. It was just a dream. It's like, what the fuck? I just had that realization that literally, like, that is a classic movie trope to be like, oh, this is how you could be there for someone. And, like, the idea of, like, if someone's hurt, then, like, you could be, like, their light. It's like, what the fuck? That's, ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. But, listen. The girls are loving it.
Listen, Spike, Snake is like, he's fully recovered in some sense from all the trauma, according to Degrassi.
Yeah, it's been like 2 days and he's still like, eh, you know, he's like, I found, yeah, sure, I found Claude's dead body, but, you know, c'est la vie. Like,
c'est la vie.
So she's doing that and Liz is like, you should just ask him to the formal. While that's happening, Michelle and Alexa are talking, everyone's having the same conversation where she's like,
yeah.
Oh, God, he's so hot and traumatized. And Alexa's like, you should ask him out. And she's like, no, what if he doesn't like me? Because, like, we had a bad date. And she's like, he doesn't remember. And then Joey's like, you should ask Michelle out. And he's like, we had a bad date. And he's like, she doesn't remember. And then, like, he's, like, watching her. Did you know, catch this? Snake is watching Michelle as she goes to class. And a kid walks by really fast. And it's, like, perfectly caught where the wind blows her hair.
It blows her hair, yes.
Oh, it's, like, actually like, perfectly timed where she looks, like, amazing for one quick second. And it's, like, but it's not for a fan or anything. It's just literally physics. Someone just walked past her and just blew her hair.
Shout out to this kid because, literally, that is the moment that we all want. Because, again, another classic movie trope is the look back. Like, yeah. After you walk away, the look back. Like, that's what everyone wants. And the fact that she looked back and Snake was already looking at her and she got the fucking all natural wind blown in her hair. Yeah. She has that classic, like,
that Tyra Banks always wants the girls to be able to do when they walk. It's like, you have to, like, pretend like you're walking through a wind tunnel. Like, girl, what does that mean?
What the fuck does that mean?
You have to propel yourself forward so your hair blows back. It's like, I don't know.
All right, Tyra.
I don't know about all that, right. Tyra.
Yeah, but shout out to that kid for giving us and giving hair, giving Michelle's hair life.
Yes, he really did. In the library, Tessa and Yik are studying. So she's having a daydream too. And in this one, she's like, he's like, oh man, you have such a sexy mind. I thought his voice was different. Like he gave himself like a deeper voice. Like,
your mind is
so sexy. I'm like, that's not what Yik sounds like.
Listen,
usually.
I really had to be like, okay, Lauren, you've got, no, we're not thinking about a young Yik this way. Because, listener, Sonique, you already fucking know. I have expressed my feelings about earring Yik and tie-dye era Yik.
Yes, mall rat Yik.
Mall rat Yik. You guys already know. You already fucking know how I felt about Yik this episode.
I'm surprised. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I don't need to voice it. And possibly if I voice it, that's just going to feel weird talking about a young actor that way.
Hey, he's an adult now.
I know.
I'm surprised Tessa didn't bring up his trauma. She was like, he was a boat person. Like, his family, he's been through so much. Just to come to Canada. Like, I want to, like, understand, like, his journey. What was his story?
Right? She's like, Alex, there's not much going on with him.
I'm like, yeah, his parents came from Greece at a pretty, like, normal and non-chaotic time in Greece's history. They came on a plane. Like, Yik didn't. That's, I'm interested in that. Yik,
listen, I'm looking for more depth in a young minority from immigrant family. Like, I'm looking for more depth in their story, you know?
Yeah. Someone just called me from Waldona, Colorado. That sounds like a scam.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, I don't know anyone in Colorado because I'm not white. So... so he plays the heartthrob really well, and when they kiss in the dream, Alex shows up and interrupts with his big old bug-eyed glasses. He's like, bah.
I feel like we haven't in any episode yet seen this much consistency of Alex's Coke bottle glasses, because I feel like I didn't fully even understand, like, how bad it was.
Yeah.
Until this episode. I was like, oh, damn.
He's really, and he literally, like...
Yeah. And we're getting the full effect of, like, him, like, over several days. Like, he literally has his glasses every day. He literally wears that fucking blazer every day. And he just looks so desperate and so just like, oh, please stop. You're like not doing yourself any favors.
He's
right now.
Really not. He's not. I realized that Alex and I have like a reverse issue, because his glasses like magnify his eyes and mine make mine really small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that now.
I have small eyes. Did you see? Like, my eyes like are actually a lot bigger than that. My sister makes fun of me because my eyes look like
you can kind of see like your, like, the way it looks, like, the side of your face looks farther in than the rest of the actual face. But
I don't have very good eyesight.
Neither do I. I'm actually not wearing my glasses right now, and I'm kind of struggling. Like, what is Sonique looking like right now?
Is that why you've
been
squinting the whole time? I noticed. Yes. It's like, and I thought you were just, like, I don't know, high or something. I don't know.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. So Alex is like, I want to spend more alone time with you. Like, but she's been busy. And she also forgot their 3-month anniversary, which like doesn't mean anything unless you're 16. Like,
I know. And the fact that Alexa didn't even remember, I'm like, ooh, she doesn't care about you. That is for sure.
Yeah. I'm like, if you have to remember, like, not to be like super heteronormative, but let's be real. Right. Like, if a girl or a woman does not remember the anniversary, is like, ooh, you might be on the outs with this one.
Yeah. She's not thinking about it very much.
No, she's not thinking about you at all. He got her a ring, which is pretty intense. I also always felt like the pairing of Alex and Tessa was so random. It's like, these two people would not date. I'm sorry. In real life?
No, yeah.
No.
No. Most definitely not. No. And it's like, poor Alex. Like, this is definitely the kind of, I think we mentioned it before when they were like first getting together, how like Alex is that confident guy that's going to be the first one to like start asking out girls and stuff. Like, in a way. But like, and so girls are going to say yes because they're like, oh, someone's paying, like, someone's getting the guts to, like, say something to me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then kind of like what Dorothy called out later, I think at one point she's like, wait, so you're only going to break up with him as, what is it? She's like, well, I want to keep Alex around if Yik doesn't really want to be with me. And Dorothy's like, so you're only gonna keep him as a backup? And it's like, yeah, Alex is that guy that's like, okay, you're a nice, confident, Alex is that guy in high school, I hope adults aren't really doing this anymore, but Alex is the guy in high school that's like, yeah, I'm gonna keep you around because you're a nice confidence boost. But like, you're not getting me hot and bothered, you know?
No.
Like,
I mean, Tessa literally, she says it later on where she's like, he's reliable. Like, and she's like, he sounds like a station wagon. And she's like, you're right. He's durable.
Yeah,
it's got lots of room in the back. Like,
he's got that corduroy, that corduroy blazer, just like screams reliability.
That corduroy blazer looks like the wood siding, like the fake wood siding of a station wagon. Yeah, the paneling. So right. Mm-hmm. But Spike walks up to Snake in the library, and she's having a dream now, and she asks Snake out, and he starts laughing maniacally, and everyone starts laughing, like crazy people, and she's like, mm-hmm. It was really upsetting. I was like, girl, that's like my worst fear is people right. laughing at me and not with me. We get a quick shot of Spike's outfit. We had a few good looks in this episode. She's got like a vest, jean shorts, and like she's doing the thing where you have like, the bike shorts underneath it that are peeking under the jean right. shorts, which I'm like, should I do that?
Girl, I literally was thinking about that today. I'm like, I kind of, because I want to do that kind of like stocking with like ripped jeans on top. I feel like it's kind of that weather time now where it's like that mm-hmm. in between, it still gets cold at night. And I was like, oh, I should do that.
I think you should go for it.
Yes.
Do it.
Okay. I definitely need an event to go to for that. I feel like I need to be going to a concert if I'm wearing that, you know?
Yeah.
Or going to like a dive bar.
Go to a dive bar. You can do that.
I will.
You're like living a totally different life than me. You can do it like literally anything. I need to live vicariously through you. Like, please go to a dive bar. Okay.
I'll do it.
Tell me all about it. FaceTime me in it. Okay. Liz encourages Spike to ask Snake out. And she's like, okay, fine. Like, I'll do it. So she goes over to Snake, who is once again wearing a very busy shirt. And Spike asks if he wants to go to the formal, like, as friends. And he's like, or no, if he's planning on going. And he's like, I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. And she's like, let's go as, like, friends. And he's like, yeah. He says, sure, why not? Which I'm like, that's not a good sign. He doesn't sound excited to be going with you. But the thing is, like, what do you do in that situation if you ask a guy out? And he's just like, yeah, why not? Like, I'd be like, actually, I'm gonna be sick. on that night and you leave, like, I'm not gonna go with you anymore because it's like you clearly aren't excited to hang out with me.
Yeah, I think also like in this moment though it wasn't completely like obvious that he wasn't. I think I didn't fully realize how unenthusiastic he sounded until he said yes later to Michelle, and I was like, oh, so he doesn't even give a fuck about this date with Spike. Like,
literally doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm like, ouch. And she's like, great. And she's excited. And she's like, I need to buy something fun to wear to Liz. And she's like, I haven't been able to do anything fun. And it's like, she's like, mommy wants a night out. Okay.
Listen, she's trying to have her hot girl, whatever year they are in high school.
Yeah. I think they're like juniors. Are they juniors?
It's really hard to tell.
I think they're juniors because I think they are because based off of the next episode that I already watched by accident. right. Yeah, they're juniors. They're grade 11.
Okay.
So Tessa tells Alex that she needs to help Yik again, so like she can't hang out, and that's when Dorothy like calls Tessa out, like, you guys hang out a lot. And she's like, no, like, I'm just helping him. But it's like, girl, it's clear. And that's when she's like, Yik is wild and unpredictable. Alex is reliable. Like, Yik is like, he's like being cool and like doing air guitar. And then she looks at Alex, who's just sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah. She's trying to like downplay it, be like, no, like, Yik and I are way too different. Like, he's not even my type kind of thing. And then, but like, during this, yeah, it's the classroom scene. Mm-hmm. Like, Tessa is so overtly, like, constantly looking at, like, at Yik, like, making eyes, like, making, like, weird faces. And she does it later on, too. And I'm like, girl, you know how you try to hide it.
No, like, she's not being discreet. Like, everyone sees it. And when she makes that comment about being reliable, I wrote a note as like, reliable is good when you're 30, not when you're like 15. Like,
girl,
like, this is, if anything, if this is the opportunity for you, if you want to like hang out with a bad boy, like, go for it. You're 15, like, do it.
Yeah.
Get that out of your system so that when you're like, you know, in your late 20s, early 30s, you're not still trying to chase like the bad boy. Like, you're finding someone who probably is a little bit more, you know, who's got his shit together. This is your time to do it, babe. Like, don't. Why are you trying to settle? Why are you trying to settle down with Alex? Like, what the fuck?
My guess, if I had to add some context to Tessa's character, she was raised in a Christian household for sure.
Maybe, yeah.
Where I it's could like, see that. I only date for marriage. I'm dating. I'm praying for my husband now.
I cannot stand that. Oh, God. Every so often you're on social media, that conversation comes up and it's like, dating for marriage. And it's like, the problem with this generation is people date for fun. I'm like, people always dated for fun. What are you talking about? Like, what do you think sock hops were, honey? Like, you fucking got finger banged to Little Richard and then you got home by 11. Like, what do you mean? Like, you're acting like people really were trying.
Have you ever seen Grease?
Have you seen Grease? Those kids were all fucking.
They just were singing while doing it. Come on.
Well, I saw this one thing where this girl was like, it's always, like I said, the combo always comes up. And it's like, people, kids, young people these days, like, I miss what our grandparents had. And it's like, this is what happens when you buy into the idea that your grandparents were, like, chaste and, like, were, like living for the Lord and, like, weren't, like, hoeing it out. I'm like, I said something like, I was like, honey, like, your grandparents were busting it wide open to the bunny hop. Like, don't act like Meemaw and Pawpaw were really just like, we're so innocent. That's what they did because that was expected. So you played into the idea that's what you were doing. People were like fucking huge sluts back in the 50s because it was before like being afraid about disease. Everyone just like didn't care about VD. Right. They just were like – back when they called it VD, they were like, whatever. Like they're like, penicillin's been invented and polio vaccine's been found. So we have nothing to worry about.
World War II is over. The Great Depression is over. We're fine. What else
like,
can
do
happen?
Do you know how people were fucking after World War II? Like, literally, like, one of, like, the worst wars ever. You think your grandparents really were just like, oh, God, I can't wait till Jimmy comes pick me up after the war. No, Jimmy came home and fisted your grandma. Like, because he was at D-Day and almost died. And, you know, when, like, the bombs were flying around, he was like, I can't wait to go home to Charlotte. And fucking found shit. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, as soon as I get, if I survive this war, I'm fucking having a threesome. Like, that's
what like, they were there. Thinking. There's nothing holding me back now.
They're a bunch of 19-year-old guys. Like, nothing's holding me back. If I survive this shit, I'm getting pegged. Like, I'm gonna live.
All
right.
I'm doing it all. Doing it all.
I'm doing everything. And then I'm not gonna tell my grandkids about it because that'll be weird. And then tell them, like, actually, no, I was virgin until marriage. No, your grandma was not virgin.
Come on. And you think fucking Jimmy wasn't like poking it and everything and getting poked over in fucking Europe? Lies.
Papa was getting down with his fellow fucking trench mates. Okay, yep. He was on a submarine for 4 years. You think he wasn't getting everything in that sub? And then went home to Charlotte and was like, oh, man. Oh, my God. I've never been touched. Like, he was fucking David. And it came home. And that's – I love that. I love that your grandpa had a bisexual moment. That was great for him. Yes. Like, oh, my God.
That's why it was so nice.
Yeah, that's why you're –
Listen, if your grandpa was not some ugly, angry drunk and he was just like a happy, jolly man, he was doing it fucking all.
Yeah. You think that those guys, they were stationed in fucking France and like not being like, oh, my God, I'm going to put it in everything I see.
Come on.
And I'm going to go home to your grandma and be like, oh,
yeah,
sex, what's that? Like, come on.
Exactly. Side note, I want to read a book. I want to read a group of memoirs put together that are just about single mothers that were that came about post World War II that just like got pregnant by a GI and then the war ended. You know, like I want to know those stories.
That was happening.
Are you one of the grandchildren of someone like that? Let me know.
Yeah. Or like if it's not like that, she like while your grandma was waiting for Pawpaw to come back from war, she was getting her box eaten by her bestie, by Bessie,
like
who also was at the factory with her. Like, girl, the like factory. They were both fucking building tanks and then also getting, you know, they were doing it to each other too. And I love that. And I love that for them.
Now that you're the writer among the two of us, I would like you to now write a screenplay about two lesbian lovers that found love in each other during World War II.
On the
that
book probably floor. Exists. Actually, but no, I want better a screenplay. Yet, I'm doing the story of a couple who split because of the war, and he's being gay in Europe and she's being gay in the home front. And they're just both just be gay and having a great time. And then they come back together like nothing happens.
Oh my gosh. Yes, please. Oh, but like make it like a, I don't even know. It can't be too serious. Make it like a comedy. Somehow make it funny.
I mean, like a rom-com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Can't wait. Add that to your to-do list,
please. Oh, yeah. I have my to-do
list. For no
list.
One else but me.
Oh, yeah, I'll just write it for you. I'll just write the script just for you. So, oh, yeah. Also, like, Arthur's like, hey, Leek, stop it. That's Alex's girlfriend. He's like, shut up, Arthur. And Luke is like,
I don't know what the purpose of Arthur is anymore.
He's like, oh, get it. Yeah, I don't know what Arthur's purpose. I don't get it. But, you know, he's making it till the end, which I'm shocked. I thought he was going to get written off the show, and he, like, still around. Right. So, good for him. So, Amy and Allison, these fucking thirsty bitches, they're playing rock, paper, scissors to ask Unibrow out to for the formal, who has a name, and it's Nick, but I'm not going to call him that. And
no, because we saw him last week in the episode, fucking trash.
Yeah, his name's Unibrow. He'll always be him and Peanut Butter Falcon over here. His girl, his friend. They're like, okay, we're going to like, I love about Amy and Allison.
Yes, what is it?
I love that they just see guys as interchangeable because they literally just like, okay, here's a guy we need to ask. Rock, paper, scissors, whoever gets wins, you get to ask him out. And it's like literally like they don't care who the guys are. They're just like, we need to find a senior. And they're just like, just find a senior and we're just going to make a game out of it. So they go over to him to ask him and he's like, Peanut Butter Falcon shows up and she's like, I'm his date. And they're like, ah, I was just doing a survey. And they leave. And it's like, wow, you guys are losers. Big time.
Extreme losers. But I also feel like those are the, those are the girls that like, I don't know. I feel like they get crazy later in life, you know?
Oh yeah. They're going to like go to college and like, you know, be huge sluts. And that's great.
Yeah. But like in the most feminist way.
Yeah. It's going to be really feminist. So Lucy is running for president apparently. And Alex is insisting that we hear it over like the intercom, like, oh, Lucy Fernandez. And it's like, okay, cool. Alexa is like, Michelle, you need to ask Snake, you're going to regret it if you don't. And so Michelle goes over and pulls him aside and asks him to the dance. And he like gets excited, but then he's like, oh, actually, like, I'm going with someone else. And she's like, oh, okay. And she runs away embarrassed. And she's like, he has a girlfriend. And it's like, Snake, you really should just clarify, like, oh, someone asked me already, as opposed to just being like,
right,
I have a date, but you know,
yeah,
there's no helping her.
He's not the best with words.
He's not.
Michelle's very sensitive, so
she's very, because you know, she's shy. So she's really
shy.
My thing is that I'm shy.
Well, you get it, Michelle. You get it. So,
Tessa is helping Yik study in the library, and he gets the answer right. He's like, oh, seven? And she's like, oh, you got it. And they hug, and then they kiss. And I thought it was a dream, and it wasn't. I was like, oh.
It wasn't.
Oh, no.
And it was very dramatic. And I'm like, oh, the tension has been building between these two, obviously, because they fucking hug after he gets it right. If this is one of those
classic tropes. Also, how dumb is Yik that, like, him getting one answer right is, like, cause for celebration like that?
Right. Very much so. Like, Tessa knew what she was doing. She was like, listen.
So I'm going to give him an easy one.
To you. Because literally while he's doing it, she's like got her hand. She's like standing over him. She's got like one hand like on his shoulder draped over. And she's like very close up on him.
I'm
like, you know, you fucking know what you're doing, girl.
Yeah, she's trying to create.
Listen, women are smart. We know.
We're so smart. She's been reading Cosmo and they're like, touch his arm. To let him know you like him and
press your bosom up against the back of him. Let him know that you're into it. It's like, okay.
Right. So Spike is trying. This dress was amazing. I loved it. It's like very goth. Like it's got tulle and she's got gloves all the way. And I was like, ooh, this look is very hot. I loved it.
Yes, very late 80s, early 90s, Madonna, Cyndi Lauper, as we've seen, is her hair inspiration.
Yes. She's like, she's trying on this dress, and then like, Emma's like, Mommy, you look pretty. And it's just like, it's like so sad that she has to like, it's just like really depressing that she's like showing her child or the dress she's going to wear to prom. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And they dance together. And I'm like, oh, Spike. This is a bummer. Huge bummer. Snake tells Joey about his dilemma. And Joey's like, Joey's the worst. He's like, just like tell Spike you don't want to go. He's like, just drop her. Like, drop Spike, go with Michelle. It's like, that's bad advice. But I guess the way he's looking at it is like, well, she did say you guys are going as friends. So it's like, who cares? And I'm like, no, Joey, it's not how it works.
Again, Joey doesn't understand women at all.
No, not at all.
He's just like, this is what they said, so.
And he's also just excited because he's like, man, you got two chicks? You got two chicks to take to the dance? Man, I wish I had your problem. Like, typical. Typical Joey.
Exactly.
Spike is at her locker, and she's wearing this, like, skull and crossbone sweater, which is interesting because it feels very 2005. Because I feel like 2005 was when, like. Or not 2005, Avril Lavigne, like 20,
is this you?
2008. Like, I feel like skulls and crossbones were, like, a big thing. So she's, like, kind of as a trailblazer fashion-wise. Snake is going to go and, like, break it off with her. But she's like, oh, my God, my mom can babysit my child that I have because I'm the teen mom in the show. And he's like, oh, fuck. And she's, like, wearing that denim tutu again. And she's, like, just really excited and, like, spinning around. And she's, like, having – she's, like, so happy.
Yeah, again, this is the most emotion we've ever seen out of Spike. I guess besides, like, her crying or being upset or angry, like, she's, like, very happy. And I'm like,
this is... We never see her happy. She's always just sad because she's a teen mom. She's either crying or upset about something.
And they had to go and not even let her have that.
I know. It's like, why can't let Spike have her little Cinderella moment? Like, they were like, no, girl.
I know.
And I was just thinking, like, Snake, just take the L, man. Like, just take her. Like, don't.
Exactly. It's one night.
It's one night. Date Michelle after. I don't know. So Lucy is campaigning for student council president against Nancy, which I'm like, brave of you, Lucy.
Very brave.
Who would you vote for, Lucy or Nancy?
Lucy, because I, even as a teenager, I was like, I mean, obviously, I support you and your all student government endeavors. And thank I was like, yeah, Sanique, you're going to do so much. But, like, I knew that student government was bullshit.
You just humored me. You're like, yeah, girl, you're going to change the world.
Yeah. And so, like, Nancy's obviously very passionate and, like, wants to, like, do stuff and, like, wants to, like, make changes. I feel like Lucy, like, says she does, but she, you know, she's, like, she's a woman. She's... You know, what am I trying to say? She's a woman of the people.
Yeah.
She's you know, she's got a little bit of Stephanie K in her. She's going to give you the cool snacks and the vending machines. She's going to give you more dances. Even more dances. Okay.
Even more?
We're talking every fucking month. Every month. The last Friday of each month, we got a fucking dance. And they're mandatory. You got to go.
Yeah, and Nancy's going to want to allocate, like, money to, like, better textbooks.
Yeah, I was listening to some of the announcements. She was talking about, like,
apparently she has that power.
She was like, I really want to act an activist student government. Basically, like, you need to participate more in, like, the student government school. Like, I don't want to do more. I want to spend as little time as possible here at this school participating in any school activities.
Exactly.
Nancy. Okay.
Yeah, no one here is like, gee, I can't wait to like protest for the school.
Right.
For school lunches. Yeah, she's like, why? Yeah,
she's like, remember when we protested after they did the searches in our lockers for the drugs?
They took away our civil liberties, and it's like, I don't care. I don't like being here.
Like, right. Like, we're already over it, Nancy.
Yeah, Nancy, like, whatever. Like, I just got better at hiding my weed. It's just in my car.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I just put it in my locker like a dummy. Like, so then, Also, so in the bathroom, Tessa asks for Dorothy's advice. And I was like, I'm the Dorothy who has no dating experience, but my friend's asking me so much advice. And it's like, why are you asking me? Like, I know I literally spend my Friday nights playing The Sims. Like, why do you think I would know?
Literally, you and I are, we're Dorothy.
We're Dorothy. We're both a combined Dorothy. But Tessa's like, okay. That's when she's like, oh, I'm going to dump Alex. But like, I have to keep on the back burner. Because like, if Yik is like not into me, then I can be like, okay, Alex, sorry. Like, actually, let's date, because, you know.
Yeah.
Which is the high school girl thing to do. I mean, it's shitty, but, like, yeah, she's a child. She's a kid.
Exactly. Because, like, I don't want to be alone. I like the feeling of someone admiring me. I can't lose that. Right. Where's my self-confidence going to go after that? It's going to go in the gutter. I can't have that.
I remember, like, my first, like, real boyfriend was in college, and I dumped him. And in a very Gemini way, in that I just got bored. And, like, I was like, oh, God, I just want to dump him. Like, I don't want to be his girlfriend anymore. I just don't want to – he's boring now. He's boring to me. Even, like, a week ago, I was, like, obsessed with him. And I was like, oh, I'm bored now. So then I dumped him in a very dramatic way. There were a lot of tears from both of us. And but, like, I wanted him to, like, still be my friend and, like, still like me. And I messaged him. And I was, like, on Facebook. I'm pretty sure I can scroll back. The messages are still there. And I was like, we can still be friends. And he's like – we're not friends. And I was like, oh, what?
What do you mean?
Oh, no one's ever not wanted to be my friend. Sergio, that's exactly... how dare you?
Yeah, that's exactly how it was with my first boyfriend as well. And I was just like, oh, looking back on them, like, because my first boyfriend was, I felt bad because it was like, he was not being like, we can't be friends. And so I just like, it was not healthy. It was very bad of me to like, basically, like, yeah, so we're just gonna like keep the same thing going. We're just not like, I know that thing's gonna happen.
Right.
But I'm gonna keep you along as if something's gonna happen.
Well, now I think about it, I did it twice, because another time is before him, where there's a guy that I was like, you're like on and off, like, you know this person, because we were very sad and very into it. Looking back, it was so dramatic, that whole situation. But like, I think I also was like, we're gonna be friends, and like, I just told myself like, we're gonna be adults about this, be friends. And I actually, in this case, I actually wasn't holding him in the back burner. I genuinely wanted to just be his friend. Okay, and then he was like, no. And I was like, why do people keep telling me they don't want to be my friends?
Like, I'm a great friend. Don't you want to be my friend?
I'm like, everyone wants to be my friend. What are you talking about? Like, I'm fun. I'm traveled. I'm smart. I'm funny. Like, how can you not want to be my friend? Yeah. I was a little narcissist. Still am.
Weren't we all?
So Yik tells Arthur and Luke that he kissed Tessa. And Arthur's like, that's bad. And Luke's like, oh, nice. And Tessa shows up and the boys scatter. Luke is like, have you seen the view from this classroom, Arthur? And they're like, leave. And my favorite TV trope is like people finding excuses to leave. Because in real life, leave. You'd be like, you just walk away. Like, you wouldn't have to give an excuse. You'd be like, okay, see you later.
Exactly.
So Tessa tells Yik, she's like, you know, we shouldn't have done that. He's like, yeah, you're right. But she's like, I'm planning on breaking up with him anyway. And Yik's like, word? All right.
Oh, really? That's dope.
Like, true. Okay. I mean, like, I feel bad. I'm sorry for him, but like, that's tight.
And Alex, I knew in this moment. Sorry.
Sorry. No, you go.
I knew in this moment, I was like, she's a fucking idiot. Because again, classic TV trope. Once you tell someone you're about to do something, you know you're not going to do it. And there's going to be the mix up when the person that you told before the person you're supposed to tell that you're breaking up with them is going to then spread that information around. And then the person that should have known first is going to be the last person to know. And then it's going to end badly.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Like, it's been done a bajillion times on television. And I think they still do it. Alex comes into the classroom and he's like suspicious. He's like, they're looking at each other a lot. He's not wearing jorts though. So I'm happy for him.
Oh, I didn't notice. He is still wearing that blazer. But yeah, this very weird, like, everyone is very much the Spider-Man meme where it's like three Spider-Men like finger guns up and they're all like pointing at each other. This was like Alex, Tessa, and Yik like looking at each other. Because when I tell you, it was like almost 30 seconds of them just looking at each other. Yeah. And then like, but also like Alex is looking at the both of them, but no one's looking at Alex.
Oh, No, it's you're so right. Sad. It's like they're both like eye fucking each other, and he's just like looking back and forth, like
he's like with no. his big ass glasses,
with his huge, with his giant. He's like, why is anyone looking at catch giving me eye contact? My eyes are so easy to see.
I know. Like,
Tessa fantasizes about dumping Alex in front of the whole class, and he's happy about it. And he's listen. Like, hey, you should date Yik. And she's like, oh, awesome.
So, yeah, like, she's literally fantasizing about it. I'm like, oh, girl, you are here for the dramatics.
Tessa obviously. Is a mess. I love messy Tessie.
Yes, messy Tessie. So, it's only the beginning.
Yes. Tessa goes over to Alex, and it's like obvious, like she's going to dump him. But then she like has second thoughts. And she's like, actually, I just want to thank you for the ring. But he knows. He's like, Alex knows, like, this is – everyone knows when they're about to be dumped. Like, we all know, like, this is about to go south very soon. And if you're smart, you just dump them.
This is difficult to read if it was real or not. I obviously knew that Tessa wouldn't do that, but I was like, well, maybe she was. She wouldn't dump him in front of the entire class. And then I just thought, oh, so Alex is playing it off like, oh, yeah, I'm cool with it. You guys should be great. You guys would be great together. And I'm like, oh, that's how you do it, Alex.
Yeah, you have to have like some cool. dignity. You gotta play it cool. You can't cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, come on. You gotta be like, yeah, I love that. Yeah, you guys are like, you know, I've actually, honestly, like, every time I kiss you, I fantasize that I'm yet kissing you because I know that that's what you want. And I love that for you.
Yeah. And if you're ever up for like a threesome, I'd be down, you know? Yeah. Like,
I know, like, no one's gonna touch me. I'm just going to be cucked and just watch. But I like to see you happy. I like to see you happy. Yeah. So, yeah. So then randomly we see the guys suiting up for lacrosse, which we've never seen them do. I guess this is this gym class, I guess. I don't know. And then as when Alex confronts Yik, he's like, oh, so like, how are the tutoring sessions going? And Yik's like, listen, bro, I'm sorry. Like, she said she's going to break up with you anyway. I shouldn't have kissed her.
Then we're like, oh shit. Yik spilled all the fucking tea.
He spilled the beans.
He spilled the fucking beans. And I'm like, you did not have to say all of that. Like, all of that.
Yeah. Like, now I think about it, this is literally what happens in Next Gen with old Craig, Ashley, and Manny triangle. Manny does the same thing. Yep. And then Ashley's like, and then she
what?
Slaps Craig in front of the whole class. I mean, it's in the whole school. Can't wait.
I'm here for all the upcoming relationship drama.
Yes. God. So excited. The show's so fucking messy. Tune in with Nothing New with Olivia Perry, and you'll hear us talk about it probably. Okay. Alex is like, oh, she stole my girlfriend. I'm like, yeah, Yik is Mr. Steal Your Girl. Like, you got to be careful around this one. He goes to the mall. He spends all his time at the mall. Alex, like, you should know.
I think we've literally said this. It's like, Yik is like, he's coming for all y'all. Like,
he's the boy that she tells you that not to worry about.
And here he comes strolling in with that earring, raking his hands through his hair.
Yeah.
With a fucking tie-dye. Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Yik wears glasses too, but guess what? His eyes are the same size as they are without the glasses. And that's hot. Okay? Alex and I will never know that experience.
No.
My eyes will only get smaller as I get older. That's just the reality of the situation.
Oh. You found Evan.
Yeah. He likes my tiny little bee eyes.
So, like, keep those glasses on, Sonic.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, girl, keep them on. I'm like, so, Yik and Alex like almost fight, but they don't, and they should have. In the library, Joey is like goading Snake to like just explain to Michelle what the sitch is, bro. Like, come on. He goes up to Michelle. Michelle's like beating herself up over the whole thing. And she's like, okay, why you don't want to go with me? Blah, blah, blah. But Snake explains, he's like, no, like, I'm only going with Spike because she asked me first. And like, you know, she doesn't go out because she's a baby mama. And then, of course, Spike is overhearing all of this. And I was like, oh my God. I wanted to like jump off a bridge listening to this, because it's like, that is so, the pain on her face.
Yeah, because she was, because she knew, because again, Spike knew how much emotion she was showing this episode, emotion that we never see, that no one ever sees at the school. Yeah. And she's like, I put myself out there and I showed myself being so excited and I look fucking stupid now.
Yeah, it's rough. At least Liz is there with her. I don't know if it's better that Liz is with her or if she should have done it. But Liz is her bestie. So it's like, it's not like it was in front of someone like who is going to probably like judge you. It's like your friend. Like if that happened to me, I'd be happy if like you or Marley were there with me. It's like,
yeah,
you know, I would we go, be I like, would run away cry. Guy. I would run away cry.
Exactly.
So he basically explains to Michelle that it's a pity date and I'm like, oh, it's rough.
Yeah. Because it's like, just say no to me. I'd rather have you reject me than give me a pity date.
Yeah, go out because you feel bad that I, you know, my uterus has had a child in it.
Right.
Like, how dare you?
It's not fun.
It's not fun. Spike sits at home sad with her dress and her child. He's like, Emma's like, girl, what's your problem? She's like, mommy, you sad?
Yeah, it's, oof.
Like, why are you crying, mommy?
Oh gosh, it was.
They not, hug like it's so pathetic.
Not a good look.
It's not a good look. It's not. Emma's the only one who gets to see her mom be vulnerable.
That's true.
It's just them, like they are dating, basically. Not in a creepy way, but just in like a, you know, she's a single mom. She's a young single mom. It's like Emma's all she really has. So Amy and Allison are still trying to ask around for seniors. And Amy's like, I have a date, but she won't tell her. And I'm like, okay, then who is
it? Yeah. That was a cliffhanger, I guess.
Is it like a big reveal that it's like someone really awesome? What if it's Shane?
I wish they would.
Yeah. I don't think he's a senior, though. I think he's grade 11 like them.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Who would she bring? I'm like wondering, like, who's she gonna bring?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who would be. Maybe Joey?
But Joey's not a senior. They're not seniors. That's true. The whole point is that they're trying to find seniors. We don't know any of the seniors except for Bronco and like.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't.
Dwayne,
maybe?
I guess, does he still have like a good public image of being like attractive as an eighth grader?
Yeah, I don't know
if he ever was, so I don't. I'm sorry to.
Yeah, I don't think like Dwayne is we'll like a hot guy that everyone's like, oh fuck, like can't wait to date Dwayne. Which is not related to his status. It literally is like, I don't think Dwayne has been shown as like
prior to his status. Like he was not, people weren't, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they're really checking for him. He's got little legs. Mm-hmm. So Tessa's waiting for Alex and she apologizes to him. She didn't mean to hurt him. And he's like, he says, why don't you like me? And I'm like, oh no, don't ask that question. That just sounds so sad. Like, just accept she doesn't like you anymore. Like, don't ask why she doesn't like you. Like, that there's no good answer you can tell. Like, cause she's like, you're smart, you're nice, you wear jorts. She doesn't say that part, but she should have.
she said it with her eyes, you know?
Yeah, she's like, you're smart, you're nice, and her eyes went down to his shorts. And looked at him like,
she's like, do I need to say it?
Do I need to tell you about but Tessa gives the ring back. And it's so dramatic. I love it because teenagers are just like so dramatic. And he's like, I don't be your friend anymore. And I'm like, ugh, stop telling girls you don't be their friends because they won't date you. It's so mean.
Okay, but I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, it's fair. She was being trash. She's trash this episode.
Yeah, I think it's, you know. Since they have dated.
Yeah, no, you don't have to be friends with your ex. You just have to be friends with me.
That's all I'm asking.
That's what I'm asking, is that everyone needs to be my friend. And if you're not my friend, it's like, wow, hate crime. So you hate me, clearly. Snake and Michelle are all like chummy and like standing together. And Spike walks over to them and she's like, hey, actually, I can't go to the dance. There's like a family thing came up I forgot about. So, you know, whatever. And he can hardly contain his excitement. He's like, oh. And he's like, oh, man, sorry.
Like, none of these kids can fucking can just be normal and be like, oh man, sorry to hear about that. I was really looking forward to it.
Like, I would have been like, oh, really, Spike? Or get mad and like, whoa, thanks for being flaky. But like,
yeah.
But then in your mind, you're just like, you just do a little dance. But yeah, she's like, yeah, no, it's fine. And, you know, and then she like swallows her pride and like walks away. And I'm like, oh, Spike.
Yeah, it was very, very sad. And it's like, obviously they didn't know, Michelle and Snake didn't really know what, you know.
Did she overhear the combo? Behind. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just like, she, it was that the kind of self-awareness of like how embarrassing the situation is. That makes it even worse, almost.
Yeah. She should go with Alex.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Don't do that.
She can't stoop that low.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, Spike's cool. She's too cool for that. But yeah, that was the episode.
Ooh, child. That was a fun little, like, you know, palate cleanser after last week.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Lead up to a dance. I was kind of shocked. I was like, wait, so they're not gonna show the dance? But I guess it's next week.
Sorry, Lauren, sorry to bring it to you. You're like, oh, okay, so there's no dance? Like, what the fuck?
I know, because I don't know, it's just like the kind of back and forth. I mean, the Tessa and like Alex thing was kind of interesting because it was like drama filled, but I was like, everything else, I'm like, we could have just gotten everything else, could have been sped up a little bit faster.
Yeah, I agree.
It was, so that we can get to the dance.
Yeah. It's like, I don't care about all of these love triangles. have you got some YouTube you'd like to share with the class?
Yes, we got some. All right. So, Fallout Man from 2 years ago says, Spike finds out why they call him Snake later on.
Oh, shit. I was not expecting. I thought he's meant like, oh, like he's a snake for doing this to her. No, he means like his dick, girl.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. That's wow. It was just Easter Sunday the other day. I can't believe.
Literally, Lord Jesus has just risen
like
from the grave,
and so has Snake. He is risen. Oh, humana.
Oh my gosh. I am Jobu from 2 years ago says, Alex probably would have gotten more chicks if his glasses were cooler and he didn't wear that blazer.
I mean, that.
I mean, how much have we said it this entire episode?
We've been saying it for years. Like,
no lies detected.
No lies detected.
And last one, Chris Lang from 1 year ago says, so, sorry, it's not funny, but it was my sense of humor, so I appreciate it. And I think it's your sense of humor, too.
Yeah, come on.
So now for the next few episodes, we have to see Claude's ghost hang around a locker in the opening credits. Which is very jarring.
Oh, yeah, because isn't it him, like, closed with, like, the rose? Oh, no!
Yeah. Yeah, it's a picture. It's, like, a picture of him. He's, like, smiling, like, at his locker. And I usually fast forward the credits or the opening song.
Oh, picture part. Not the yeah. Scene where he gives... Yeah. Because they do the little, like the yearbook kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's he's very high-spirited in the picture. It's like, oh, nice. I don't know.
This bitch said, I don't know.
Yeah. So that's all I've got for YouTube this week. But it was a funny section. I definitely recommend watching it.
Nice. I love that.
Or looking at it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the YouTube comments are always amazing. Like, they're never not good.
I know.
Like,
they come to slay.
They knew the assignment. Okay.
Yes.
shall we do the ranking system?
Yes.
I don't know why I say like, shall we do it? Like, you'd ever be like, actually, no.
There's numerous times I'm like, can we just like boycott it? But you know, I agree to it. So, you know, I got to carry on.
Wow. okay, someone hates me. Another person doesn't want to be my friend anymore.
No, I mean, like, we both agreed on this ranking system. Sometimes I'm like, I think once we get to the end of it, I'm like, oh, we gotta rank it.
Yeah. Here we are.
But, you know, it's necessary. Like, we have to. I think I also, as someone that hates giving grades, I hate having to, like, give an opinion on something. Mm-hmm. And, like, have to give it a definitive number or grade or opinion. I usually avoid it. So, this weekly ranking is, like, necessary, but my inner self does not love it. No, I just want to give, you know, I love talking about it, but not having to give, like, this sucked. And it was worth this much.
You don't want to evaluate it. This is someone's art, okay? The writers of Degrassi. This is their art. So starting with 90s Canadian-ness. Well, I'll say this. I feel like this trope specifically like is very of the time, like 90s, like the – oh no, I have two dates to the dance. What do I do? Usually in like a comedy, it would be like, you're trying to like balance, you try to like balance both the dates. Like, smart guy, I remember it was like, he had three dates. So he's like, but I think they all knew about each other. So it wasn't like, or did they? No, I don't think they did. But no, they didn't. But like, I feel like at this time you're doing like, oh man, I have two dates. And like, you're running around the dance trying to like be a date. And then
I'll go get us some drinks. And then you have to like,
yeah, you know. And then it's revealed that like, you know, that you played both
classic trope.
Yeah, but I think that would give it a little bit of a boost just because it is like, like you have two dates. What's a guy to do? You know,
and it's Snake.
And it's Snake of all people. But he's tall, you know.
I know.
Girls love him.
He's so tall. Ladies, the trauma of it all.
He's really tall, you know. Okay.
What do you think? Mm-hmm. Maybe a 5?
Oh, sorry. I would say, yeah, that's good. 5. I love that.
Okay.
Fashion.
There was a lot of tie-dye, like, outside of just Yik. There was a lot of tie-dye this episode. Mm-hmm. Spike's fashion, she had a couple different looks. Mm-hmm. Giving us 90s fashion.
Tessa had a few. Tessa kind of was giving us like kind of like a boho, like early 90s like boho look with like the dangly earrings and like peasant shirts and stuff.
Yeah she has fashion sense, like she's got her own style.
Yeah, like her,
she's
like
not
her
a basic bitch.
Yeah, she's not not even close. Also, weirdly enough, I would say Allison's hair is very, like, it's just like that, like you said, like that waist length hair with like the little like bang in the front.
Yeah, that's just like the effortless, like that person that just like doesn't have to try, and they just like have like a body wave.
You know what she is? And, like, Allison reminds me like Sweet Valley High.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Like, she's one of the sisters, right? Like the long blonde hair, just very like, oh, it's the early 90s.
That is a perfect, perfect.
I brush my hair 100 times every night.
Yeah. Very much that, with like, she's that girl. Oh my gosh. She's that fucking girl that like had the really nice, like, her like parents or her mom like designed her bedrooms, so, like, everything matched.
Oh yeah. And, like, she had, it's like Laura really Ashley. Nice, it's very like,
yeah,
the frills and stuff.
And she, whatever, like, and then, like, in the 90s and early 2000s, like, her mom and her parents let her get the entire bedroom set with all the accessories and, like, the matching rug and all the accent pillows and, like, mirrors and shit that, like, for me, I only got, like, the comforter.
Oh, yeah.
And the sheet set, like, that's all I got.
I also picture her, like, coming home and her phone's ringing and she, like, she like picks it up, it's on the bed, and she like jumps on the bed, like on, like, on her belly.
She has her own phone line with a cute looking phone. She has a clear phone.
Oh yeah.
She's got a blow up mattress, a blow up chair.
Yeah.
She's literally like the girls, the teen girls in the magazine. They're like, I wish my life looked like that, and her life actually looked like that.
Yeah, except she can't find a fucking date somehow. I'm like, this girl is not having the trouble with that. Like, she literally looks like the most,
we're not
like,
buying it.
I mean, I know it's Canada, but she's very like all American, like,
yes,
teen.
Her and Simon are definitely doing like ad campaigns together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fashion. Ooh, maybe like a 7 or an 8, I would say. Maybe 7.
I would say a 7, yeah. Well, no, 8 because of Spike's dress.
That's true.
Well, that dress is amazing.
It's been a while since we got like a standout Spike moment like that.
Yeah. That's true. Acting.
Someone made a note in the YouTube comments about someone's acting. I can't remember.
Well, I think
it was bad.
You think it was bad?
No, I didn't think anything was bad.
Oh, sorry. Someone was honking their horns. So
they disagree, apparently.
Like, no. It's terrible. I thought it was good. I think Spike did a good job of playing, like, you know, the excitement, but then also, like, the disappointment. I think Snake was good at, like, the comedy stuff.
Yes.
I think Alex was very pathetic. And played that very well.
Like, listen, I don't know if it is acting or not, but he played it very, like, he looked pathetic. The situation he made him look pathetic, and he acted pathetic, like on purpose, you know. Like, it wasn't pathetic acting. It was just like he acted, and he came across the character pathetic and sad.
Yeah,
and pitiful.
Like, tell me how else you feel about Alex. Like, sad and pathetic. And pitiful and fucking loser.
Here's some more adjectives. I'm looking up in my thesaurus.
Thesaurus words for fucking sad ass.
Sad ass blazer wearing teenagers. Go.
So then I might give the acting like a 6.
I think that's fair.
I guess, like, good.
Yeah.
All right. And last but not least, plot. Did it go there?
No, but I think it was also, we got some setup for like some long term kind of like things, you know. We get the Spike and the Snake situation,
mm-hmm. Which comes back in a huge that, way, you know, in the future.
Yes. And I think, you know, with like the people that they're like, okay, who's gonna end up together, like they're like, okay, well, we touched on this before, let's kind of revisit it. And then with, you know, Tessa Campanelli being like
messy Tessie,
you know, messy fucking Tessie. So it begins, like, you know, it's beginning. Like, that's, you know, her kind of, you know, getting a taste of like, ooh, this is exciting, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I would say then that the plot would be. Maybe a 6 as well.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, it's, you know, there's something there because, you know, it's kind of building up for some future storylines, but like, there's nothing like, we're literally going to forget this episode until next week when we have the dance.
Basically, which is understandable given that, like, we just got off of like a really major episode. Like,
exactly.
They're not going to give you another huge, like, they're not going to give like Wheels Living on the Streets, you know, like, it's a little too much. So that puts 3's a crowd. It's in like a 5-way tie for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th place spot with Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, Stressed Out, A Tangled Web, All Nighter, and 3's a Crowd, which is not surprising because I think these are all like the kind of like a lot of the filler episodes of like kind of like, oh, like,
yeah,
dating ones. That's like, yeah, you know, whatever.
I feel like Degrassi High, there's a lot of that because I feel like with Degrassi Junior High, we kind of got some hard hitters, we got some fun ones, and then we got like really stupid ones. But I feel like with Degrassi High, there's only the big hitters or like the filler fun ones. Like, they're all like really kind of interesting to watch because they're either fun or like a big like shocker. But then it's kind of difficult for ranking. It's like 5-way tie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm interested to see. I mean, if we continue to. Oh, actually, no, this is not for 7th place. It's actually, like, 8th place. So it's, like, or, like, 9th place. I don't know. I can't count. There's a few ties here, so I'm confused. But the point is, that's, like, where it is. It's, like, a little bit of, like, lower, mid-lower position. Should we want to do our songs?
Yes. I believe you are first this week.
Oh, cool. So I decided to choose a song. I don't know why I just said it like that. I decided to choose a song. Like, what? Like, am I like a first grader? What was that? This is my report on the song. Like, what the fuck? Okay, so I chose a song that is about broken hearts and just like the heart-wrenching experience, the gut-wrenching experience of being a teenager and being rejected. And like, what do you do when you go to your room and you just like sit and just like, you close the curtains and you just listen to music and you cry in your pillow because you know that's what Spike's gonna do while Emma's in the background like, mommy, why are you crying?
Exactly.
And Alex will do, he'll take his glasses off and his eyes will be so small and he'll cry to himself. So right. I chose Whitney Houston's Where Do Broken Hearts Go, 1987.
Yes. Fuck
yeah. Just like, yes. Like, where do they go? They don't tell. I don't think this song even tells us where they end up going.
No. Whitney.
Can they find their way home back to the open arms of love that's waiting there? No, probably not. Because you're a single mom and you have wear jorts. Like, it's always going to be sad for you. And just so you know, I finally did update the Spotify.
Hey.
We're very late in the game, but it's there. So there's a new updated Spotify playlist that will be in this episode's description.
Awesome.
Yeah. What about you, girl?
I also kind of went along the same road of the idea that, you know, I think I was more along the lines of like what Alex would be like. Like, just scream crying into his pillow. Cause, like, you know, like, Alex is an emotional guy. You, like, know it. Like, he, like, pulls it all together for school, but, like, he's an emotional guy. And as I've said on this podcast, I was gonna find a way to sneak in Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Baby! Sorry.
You fucking know that Alex would be like screaming into his fucking hairbrush in his room, like blaring this out of his boombox. Like, I don't, in like, let's see, what year did this movie, this song come out? Wait. I don't know, but sometime in the early 90s, and whether or not it was during this time the show was on, or this came out a few years later, this would be Alex's song. You probably know, like, he's still, like, a year later, and he's still, like, crying about, like, Tessa and how she broke his heart. Because, like, he bought her a fucking heart ring for their 3-month anniversary, like... He's the nice guy that, like, does a lot for you that you just, like, are not here for when you're a young teenager. Yeah, you're like, I want the drama.
I want the boy with the earring and playing air guitar.
Yes. I want the boy that's... Sorry, I'm, like, thinking of this TikTok. And it was like, oh, what was the audio? It's like, oh, what was the fucking audio? Oh, it's like where it's like, I love him, I love him. It's like Fantasia. I see him when you walk by, when I see you. I'm not singing this well at all, but it's Fantasia's When I See You. And it's the bit when she's like, I love him, I love him. And so there's this audio used on TikTok where it would be like a girl being like on her knees, like, or in her bed being like, like, just like screaming, I love him, I love him. Mm-hmm. And then the text in front of it would be like, a 20-year-old man who sleeps with a mattress on the ground, doesn't have his own car and uses his finger to read. And I don't know what it was about uses his finger to read that cracked me up so badly that I was like, oh my gosh, Tessa's like, oh, I'm here for like the dumb yick, like that doesn't know like basic math. I'm here for it. But it's fine
because they'll balance each other out because you can just do his homework for him.
Exactly.
Because you know he's going to ask you to.
Yes. So,
That's great. I love that. Damn, y'all. Next week, we are watching the finale.
Wait, I thought we had two more episodes.
No, we have the finale. And their school's out, the TV, but I feel like that's like a special, like, thing, you know, because it did come out.
After.
Yeah, after. Like a bit after. Like a year after the show. So this is actually our... literally 1 year after, because School's Out came out on January 5th, 1992. The final episode of Degrassi airs January 28th, 1991. So literally, there's a whole year gap between the finale and this movie. But we are doing the finale of Degrassi High, One Last Dance. Synopsis: the year's last dance takes on new significance when the news comes out. It's not just the last... It's not just the year's last dance. It's Degrassi's last dance.
Okay. So, I'm confused. Are they like closing the school? How many times are these kids going to change and redistrict?
Mama, that's what I was thinking. Because my first thought was like, does this school burn down again? Damn. Is there literally like, oh my God, what was the janitor?
Luella
came back to burn the school down.
Listen, she's like, y'all fuckers didn't learn. Y'all didn't fucking learn.
Luella's like, y'all won't let me unionize, and she like burns down another school.
Fuck y'all. Fuck y'all and your damn dances. You don't need any more dances. Shut the fuck up, Degrassi.
These kids have to read with their fingers. They hardly learn anything. They're only two dance.
This young man doesn't even know basic arithmetic. Okay? Come on, just like, and then it's like, Yik is like, why'd you have to call me out like that, Luella? I thought we were friends.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, damn, I thought we got two more episodes. Now I'm like,
yeah, girl.
I don't know if I was ready.
I know, to say goodbye.
I feel like I only got one more song left of this 90s playlist, and I chose Kiss from a Rose. Listen, I needed it to happen. I needed it to happen. But like now I'm like questioning my choices.
No, I think it's a great choice. And I'm sure I'm sure you can find like an even better song for.
Also, side note, what's that girl, Heidi Klum? Is she still married to Seal?
I think they're divorced now.
Okay. I'm the person that's like, when I think of like celebrities that like date and like find someone, I'm like, oh, I lost my chance. And when they break up, I'm like, yes. Back on.
Wait, is Seal your guy?
Seal's like that person. I'm just like, he does it for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I think again, Kiss from a Rose was one of those songs that I listened to when I was younger, and I was like,
with your play phone.
I regret every day that I've said that publicly on a podcast.
It's so cute. I know. I think it was funny and cute. Come on.
I remember because it wasn't even until like, I got a little bit older that I, like, recently, probably the past several years, that I thought it was about, like, him crying about someone that's dead, which I still maybe think it is, but I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea what that song is about. Because it's also about Batman. Like, I don't fucking know. How is this tie-in?
Oh my gosh, but I fucking loved that song. Because I remember, like, I didn't even realize, like, I just loved that song so much. And then I think I learned more about Seal, and which is nothing. I think I just saw a photo of him and I was like, yeah, yeah, this is it.
Like, this is like, my man.
This is my man's. And I think because I loved the songs, I don't know why I loved the song so much when I was younger. But I fucked with Kiss from a Rose. Like, I fucked with it so hard that I was like, I'm going to put this in the playlist no matter what.
I mean, I'm super happy it made its way on the playlist. And I think I think you made a good choice. I don't think you fucked up. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I regret nothing.
Yeah,
but
you shouldn't.
I know.
If you did, I would tell you to not. I can't do much to stop you, but like, I'll just be like, no. Don't regret it.
Right.
But yeah, y'all, check in next week for the finale. And then we have, I'm going to go ahead and announce it. We will be doing Degrassi School's Out with our special, very favorite Canadian Amanda Kuczynski will be coming on to the podcast to talk about the movie. So can't wait for that. That's going to be so fun.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to talk about the movie. I'm so excited to watch it.
Yes! I know.
I'm so excited.
We'll see. That's in 2 weeks. I feel like after we record next week, I'm going to watch it. I'll probably watch it at least twice before we record.
Yeah, I will too, just because I love it.
So I'm going to watch it once through just to like watch it and not have to take any notes. And then
I think that's a good idea. I'll do that too. Cause I don't, I want to enjoy it. Yes. And I've been holding off doing a rewatch for a long time just for this moment. Right. I'm gonna let it simmer and then I'm gonna watch it. So guys, catch us next week as always on Wednesdays. But we will catch you later, Broomheads.
Bye, Broomheads.